Welcome, Sacred Disruptor, to the Sovereign Society podcast. I'm your guide, Sabrina Riccio, modern medicine priestess, golden age business mentor, and marketing muse for spiritual entrepreneurs. In this sacred temple, we explore what it means to embark on your spiritual journey towards sovereign embodiment, multidimensional leadership, and social justice while honoring a business of integrity. Gathered here are some of the world's leading mentors, healers, and revolutionists alike as they share activating codes of guidance and transmissions of wisdom that will empower you to thrive. As a sovereign leader, you are here, embodied in your truth and on your evolutionary mission to answer the call, move the masses, and activate your legacy for the generations to come. You are here to unleash your medicine. Welcome home. Hello, 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 and welcome to this exciting and truly inspiring episode of the Sovereign Society podcast. I'm your guide, Sabrina Riccio, and let me just say, happy April. I don't know about you, but this is always a very transformational month for me. And festival season's coming back. I'm getting ready to get back on that dance floor and get super weird with my friends. And, you know, I think it's important that we infuse more play in our lives and more pleasure in our lives. And, you know, there's something that comes from understanding that, like, it's not just about work, work, work. There needs to be this work-life balance. And if we're going to go out there and really make the most of our lives and make the most of our business, you've got to make sure that you're doing not only what you love, but that you're also taking time for yourself. And so even throughout this whole month, there's going to be some really awesome episodes coming out. But let's talk about this episode because I'm really pumped that I have Mary, Ralph, and Kennedy of Daily Drills. And these young ladies have built an incredible business, and they've done it in such a way that it's just like divine. And this is something we talked a lot about. And I loved that these women have really embraced the fact of their faith and how it's played a real significant role in building this business. Because, you know what I mean? Without faith, you're walking in fear. And if you're walking in fear or you're doubting yourself with what you're doing, success is not going to happen. So if you believe in yourself and, you know, you have a really beautiful intention and a purpose and you're doing it with love, and what better way to do it with love than really doing it with your best friends? Like, your success is inevitable. And so I was really curious because when I was reached out to talk with them, I was looking at their brand because I never heard of them before. And I love how sustainable they are with their products and really focusing on versatile products that can really be used in so many different aspects. I don't know why, but when I was recording with them, I was like, what's coming through in my mind is a chameleon. And I just saw that, you know, we can really one day wear like our CEO hat, and the other day we can, or in that other moment, we can be working out and then we can having fun. You know, we can wear the same thing. And so, you know, these two have really embraced the say yes often, but say not enough to make your yes count, which I really respect. And, you know, they really have been focused. They're diligent. They've had their systems and their structures set up. And these two are just going to really take the world by storm with their brand. And I'm so excited to see a lot more of what's to come because, you know, creating this lifestyle brand of, and fashion brand really, of transitional pieces that can really be adaptable. I think that it's amazing that these women heard the hunch to create it during, in the middle, and they said in April of 2020. So in the middle of the pandemic, they were like, let's do this. And then here they are, and they're creating this, and they're being very selective on their purchasing decisions and, you know, the overall sustainability factor in clothing. And something that I was really curious about too is because while I'm really grateful to see more of it happening in brands, I wanted to hear their perspective on what it's like to create not just a clothing brand that is trendy, but is also inclusive. And this is something that I know they're working on as well as they're just getting started. And I respect that because, you know, I was telling them as when I was growing up and really insecure about my body and seeing all these ads without, you know, women that represented me, it was a real, it really had an effect on me. And this is something I've been really clearing out within my own health issues and stuff. And so I'm really excited to see how, again, how this brand really evolves. But, you know, we're going to talk about a lot of really beautiful pieces, including what it means to really break stigmas about doing business with friends and the future of sustainable business and really the rise of ethical brands and really how they've decided to differentiate themselves in an oversaturated market while also, you know, understanding that there's something unique everyone can bring through their business. And it's like you showing up wholeheartedly. So we talked a lot about client retention versus new client outreach and the importance of really embracing and honoring the clients who've already supported you, as well as how systems have really helped them scale and grow and cultivate that work-life balance. Because especially I think working with your friend too, and do you need to make sure you also like have that time off where you get to harness and support your friendship and it's not all about work as well. So the biggest thing that I know that these two just really want you to do is just start, right? You just need to start. And from this space, you're going to be able to see, and you know, as I shared with you last week with Ashley Pollard, mistakes are inevitable, but they make you grow and you can really learn a lot from those investments and to help you become better and just be smarter with your choices. So I'm really excited. Make sure, take a screenshot and let me know you're tuning in. I'd love to give a little shout out. And I'm really excited to for you to dive into this episode because here we are, Mary Ralph, Kennedy, and I were talking about the importance of what it takes to really build a business of integrity through sacred partnership. So enjoy. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Sovereign Society podcast. I'm your guide, Sabrina Riccio, and I'm really excited because this is going to be a conversation that I feel is going to be a true beacon of inspiration because having the ladies, Mary and Kennedy of Daily Drills here, I'm just so inspired to see how much the two of you have been slaying it in such a short amount of time. Like, way to go, ladies.
Thank you. We're so excited to be chatting with you today.
Yeah, I know. We've been, you know, this conversation has been pushed back and forth and back because of like crazy health issues. And, you know, there's a thing that I truly believe in divine timing. And, you know, I just want to dive in. I'm curious to hear, like, what was the hunch, that inner knowing that it was time to build a clothing line? Because I don't think either of you have really had experience in building clothes or designing clothes. So I'm curious to hear, what was that hunch that was like, all right, now is the time for us to do this. Now is the time for us to really create this brand together.
Yeah, I feel like Kennedy and I really talk about timing a lot and how different things have led us to what we're doing right now, which is Daily Drills. The timing was actually crazy perfect. It was during COVID when we launched our brand, or when we actually conceptualized. It was July of 2020, so all of us were at home, not doing a ton during the day. In LA, we were very shut down, right. But we were always circulating business ideas, always had different ideas, and we're texting each other back and forth a lot during that time. Just kind of creative ideas, different things we were inspired by, different things we could be doing, different ideas of what to do during COVID. Mm-hmm. And Ken one Wednesday night was like, I think we should start a clothing line. I know someone that has extra stock fabric. Like, are you in? And all I had to do was say yes. And I think a lot of times, if she would have texted me that in 2019 or 2021, yeah, I might not have said yes, or I probably would have said yes, but it might not have actually worked out. And we might have been a little more hesitant. But I love when you say, you talk about divine timing, because it's so true. The timing was perfect. It was like we both had full-time jobs, but we also both had a lot of extra time on the outside with the pandemic. So that's like really how we started. And then 4 months later is when our official public launch was.
That's amazing. Because like, what was it that I'm curious to hear? Because so many of us, we shift, you know, our path, like we have like a detour, and sometimes that detour is better. Like when you were younger girls, what was it the thing that you thought you wanted to do with your life? Or what was it, you know, what was your big dream of the work you saw yourself doing?
I mean, how young are we talking? I wanted to be Britney Spears until like, Paris Hilton. I loved entertainment world, but college, I definitely thought like I wanted to go into marketing or something with like a PR emphasis. And I didn't necessarily see myself in the fashion sphere. I always liked fashion, but I felt like because I didn't go to school for it, or I didn't know like the top designers and I couldn't list them all off, I didn't know their biography, like I wasn't qualified basically. So I actually kind of leaned more into like the food and health and wellness space, because that really interests me as well. But somehow I'm like, you're saying like our paths just kind of changed. And like, especially like when we went into Daily Drills, you know, we thought we were going to be activewear, and then we were getting super excited about designing and innovating more fashion forward pieces. So that kind of led us to where we sit today, which is pieces that you can wear like a little bit more casually, but have the power to style up. So it is pretty interesting. Going back to your question, I definitely didn't think I was going to be in fashion or anything like that.
It's funny because I never like knew exactly what I wanted to be when I grew up. Like I could never put a nail of what I wanted to do. But in middle school, I like made these duct tape headbands and sold them on the playground. And then in high school, I made t-shirts.
Wow, early entrepreneur. Look at her go.
And then I made t-shirts that I sold. So like I loved having different businesses, creating different things. I think I had 5 different businesses, and I would always be at like the children's business fair. So nerdy, but like I always loved creating new ideas that no one else had. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's kind of, and I've always loved fashion, and my mom's loved fashion and taught me about that from a young age. So it's funny, like my entrepreneurial spirit and like my love for fashion kind of has collided in my 20s, but I never really knew that like I would own a brand. I always thought I'd want to sit front row at a fashion show, but I never would think that it would be my brand. So
right.
Interesting. Yeah.
Cause it's interesting when we like start to look at that bigger picture, and I like to say really observe the breadcrumbs of what was, you know, in our earlier years, and to really understand that while it may not be that specifically, there's elements of that, that is a deeper part, or even like the blood of what we're here to do today. I know for me, you know, I always knew in a way that I wanted to do, because I went to school for marketing as well, and I was in Orange County. So when I was at Chapman, like I knew I wanted to go ahead and create like a blog. And that was when social media was really rising. Like Instagram was surface level, where people had shitty filters and, you know, but and I was a music journalist at that time, but like, you know, and even though I'm not that today, I've been able to teach at festivals. And I think like with you too, you know what I mean? Here you were making like headband tape when you were a kid, and now you've evolved to that. You, Kennedy, wanted to be Paris Hilton, and she was considered like an innovative icon in fashion. You know what I mean? So there's purpose to that, and there's breadcrumbs to really to pick those pieces together when you're really ready to get out of your own way and you're really ready to step into your purpose and your power. So with that, I want to hear like, what do you think is the bigger purpose of Daily Drills? Because, you know, there is a rise of sustainable and ethical business, and a lot more around sustainable fashion as well. And I think, you know, you're seeing so many more people thrifting, or you're seeing more people, like you're saying, like, how can you be more multi-purpose in your fashion and your pieces? So I'm curious to hear, what was that drive?
Yeah, that's a great question. So on the note of like multi-purpose and sustainability,
I think really having versatile clothing, so like transitional wear, pieces that you really can repurpose throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout different seasons as well. Our oversized hoodie is actually reversible, so you can wear it 2 days. So I'll literally just pack that crew neck when I take a trip because I can wear it two different ways. So yeah. It really is offering that added value and added purpose. So that's definitely something we're very intentional with our designs. Like it's all cut and sew. It's all, you know, we make it and we don't make it, but we come up with the design concepts. And so really having that multi-purpose is kind of like the way that we are coining ourselves as sustainable. It's not as much like fabric driven. It's more just like the multi-use and the fact that, you know, I can wear it. I share it with my husband. We can actually both wear the unisize crew necks and just having like multi-uses. Yeah,
the lifespan of the clothing, I think, is important. And then also going back to your question about like what our mission is or what the higher purpose of Daily Drills is. Yeah. Obviously, we're a clothing line like at the surface, and that's where how people find us and what people buy from us. But we also in our logo, we have an exclamation point, and that's like really what we're trying to share. We're trying to share spontaneity. We're trying to share positivity. We're trying to make clothes that you feel good in, that you feel excited and confident in at your business meeting, or that you feel great in at your Pilates class, yeah, whatever you're doing. So the exclamation point is really like the brand mission statement on its own, because like whatever an exclamation point means to you, it brings most of us excitement and yeah, energy. We actually got exclamation points tattooed on us after our first year of business. So it's like that's kind of what we're trying to drive everyone towards and give girls that.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, I just want to say, I want you to eliminate that word try and believe that you are. Like, you're not trying, you're doing. I tell that with all of my clients when they're saying like, oh, I'm trying to do this. It's like, no, bitch, you're doing. Like, you need to give yourself more credit. So yeah. I like to, anytime I have people on the podcast and they're like, oh, I'm trying, I like to correct them and give them like that realization is that stop doubt, because trying can bring a lot of that doubt of like, you know, if that like, oh, I'm trying this out, but like you're not confident. And that to me is also what, you know, that exclamation point can be. But you have to make sure that, and this isn't just you two per se, but in general, like if you are out there and you're stepping out of your comfort zone in business and doing something like, there's in your heart you want to create, but you still have no idea how the hell it's going to actualize. Like you have to have faith in what you're creating. So I'm curious to hear how your journey has been of allowing your faith to really be the forefront of designing this brand. It's interesting because even on my arm, I have tattooed a Mother Mary, and she says the mystery of faith. And so I think there's a purpose to that of like having mystery in that faith. So I'm curious to hear how that has been really the blood and the driving force of Daily Drills and the expansion of your brand.
Yeah, I mean, we both truly believe like Daily Drills was God inspired, the timing and alignment, like Ralph touched on it, but we have a third partner who's our manufacturing partner. And literally she reached out to me through LinkedIn. Why did I respond? Why did I hop on a call? We both started working for her doing freelance, you know, the way that everything like lined up, I feel like all we had to do was say yes and step through the doors. And I felt like in past, there were so many jobs where I was trying so hard to make it work. And I was like, you know, really felt like I was like having to like shove and elbow my way to the top. And I really felt like Daily Drills was just something that we had to say yes and step into. And like, we felt so much wind out of back, out of the gate. Like, yes, we both have social followings. Yes, we both are pretty well connected in LA, but the amount of support and momentum we had off the ground was insane. I mean, we were fulfilling out of Ralph's apartment for the first couple months, and we thought we were going to be fulfilling out of her apartment for like a year or two. Like, we weren't prepared to quit our jobs. We weren't prepared. We didn't think, yeah, we had a bigger vision, but we didn't think that like the momentum and the speed at which we would be selling was going to be so strong. And like, I put that back to my faith and like in God and like the momentum that came with just like saying yes and stepping into something that was for us and into an open door. So honestly, I feel like our faith has been such a huge aspect and journey of Daily Drills. And like, literally, like, you know, we have, it's us two and we have a full-time hire and some interns, but like, we're looking to expand and hire right now. And like going back to the core, okay, like if this is from God, like he has a plan, and we, again, like get to like follow him in that. There's a verse, it's like man plans his steps but God like paves the way kind of a thing. And it's like, we're doing the work and saying yes, but at the end of the day, like there's a moment of surrender of like, okay, well, we don't have to grip it. We don't have to be like, well, what's going to happen if this doesn't sell? Because like, it wasn't even from us. Like it was from God. Yeah.
And I also think it gives you a little bit the weight off of your shoulders. Like if it's for you, then you're not going to be able to screw it up. And so I think that allows us to be more creative, to try new things, to like not hold on so tight, to give other people our same connections, to give other people our ideas or our things that we've learned. It makes us like live a lot more open-handed, which is obviously the way we're supposed to. But sometimes when you're not where you're supposed to be, or you feel like you're in that job that you're super stuck in and you don't have like that momentum, it's harder to be like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting place to start a business out of, thinking this is something I want to do. And if it's for me, but it's also not the biggest thing in my life and will be the biggest thing in my life.
I love that. Yeah. I know for me, and you know, I think, like I said, it's absolutely amazing that you guys have like grown exponentially in the amount of time that you have. And I think, like you said, like when those moments come, it's so divinely guided, and the fact that you've been able to be in that space of surrender and just continue to trust the process and honor the journey of that. I think that's it takes time to cultivate, you know, and that relationship with God. You know, maybe some people listening don't resonate with that God spirit, whatever that represents, the divine for you. And, you know, there's sometimes too where it's like there can be trial and error in that. And I just talked about this last week with Ashley Pollard, and we're talking about like mistakes are also inevitable in business. Mm-hmm. And you have to trust that those mistakes can also be divinely guided, because they give you wisdom, and they will help you understand what not to do as well. But whether it's up to you if you're going to continue to repeat those patterns, or if you're going to go ahead and like take that nugget of wisdom and then go from it. So I'm curious, like with you guys scaling and you guys growing, like what are your non-negotiables to make sure that you're coming back to center and you're really cultivating this work-life balance so that you can continue to just be that open channel to receive the divine guidance as to where you're taking your business next?
Yeah, some non-negotiables. I think for us, we're really big on company culture, just in general. We're around each other all day and really feed off of each other's energy. And so we're very protective of like our space and just like our attitudes, our dispositions, and like very sensitive to that, like who comes in and who's working with us, just because we want to be a company who's like inward facing, rather than like, okay, here's our like sexy mission statement, we're so philanthropic. It's like, okay, how can we create like community and positivity and positivity through just like our team? So I think that's like a huge non-negotiable for us. Transparency, honestly, providing. I feel like we're pretty good with boundaries, like when our off and on hours are. Would you add anything to that?
Yeah, I feel like having everyone on the same page and all of that really helps. And obviously, we're a small team, so we're luckily able to do that at this point. And that's something that we try to protect going forward. But even with our Instagram followers or the people that are our customers, we have like a super cool relationship with them. Yeah. I would say online, we constantly are asking them questions on our stories or getting their feedback or asking them what they want us to create our next round or which colors we want that they want to see from us. So I think just having like open communication within the office and in positivity within the office, but also like open communication with a customer or a follower, or someone that feels like their voice is heard too, I think is super important to us. And that's what we want all of our customers to think, like, oh, they listened to me and they made this literally for me to buy. And then they're excited to do that. I think has helped us a ton.
Yeah, I agree.
I love that. I know what, and it's really beautiful too, because right now, and especially like thanks to social media, even though it's been testy for a lot of people lately, and a lot of people's engagements have been really wonky and things like that, I think the important thing that we need to remember is that this is about a community building space. And, you know, these times, the golden age is about community and collaboration. And what better way than to collaborate, but to see, you know, your audience or your customers in a way as an equal to you too. I don't think there needs to be necessarily like a hierarchy of like, we're better than you or whatever. That can be a big thing and it has been a big thing, but I really feel like we're dismantling that piece so that, you know, we're understanding like this is a collaborative experience and in a way, it's the best way to also sell because otherwise, you know, that that's what they want rather than just sitting on a whole bunch of inventory or whatever. That's not conducive to supporting the needs or like the desire of your audience. So I'm curious to hear like, you know, and I think this is something that I've been really excited to see more of, especially in the world of fashion, is a lot more inclusion of different body types and all people of color. I also am like praying to see more like people with disabilities also. Like I've seen a lot, like for instance, I was looking like an ad from Rihanna's Fenty line came through and I saw that she had an amputee like showcasing a bra. And I thought that was absolutely amazing. So I'm curious to hear too, like what are your goals on being a more inclusive brand, especially because like you said, you guys were thinking you're going to start with activewear, but you've gone with a little more like leisure. It's kind of like a chameleon is the best that's the word that's coming to me right now, but you're being more versatile with your clothes. What's a promise that you're willing or that you're knowing that you want to bring more inclusion? Cause I know for me, like I grew up really curvy as a little girl because I had a lot of trauma. So I gained like a lot of excess weight. It was really hard for me to feel seen or heard, especially in fashion. So I had a lot of body shaming and insecurities in that sense. But like great, like, you know, I've done a lot of work on myself to get to where I am now and it's constantly growing, but there's a lot of other people out there who I know want to be recognized and seen and just like included. Like I see brands like Meet the Label that goes like to 4XL and, you know, they're being more inclusive on having them in activewear and things like that. So I'm curious to hear like, how are you choosing? Because I don't necessarily even think this is a trend. I think this is really the future. And how are you choosing to bring more of this inclusion into your brand as well?
Well, we love that that's the future as well. Like we definitely want people to see themselves in our pieces. And I think so often women look at models or fashion or whatever, and they don't see themselves in the clothes. So they're not going to buy it. They're not going to believe in the brand. They're not going to buy into it. And it's not just about like growing our customer base, but like we want people to see themselves in Daily Drills, and we want Daily Drills to be for everybody. It's not just women. It's not just men. It's for everybody and all body types and sizes. Unfortunately, since we are still so small, we're only able to offer like a certain size range. And honestly, we've been modeling most of the stuff because budget. But we have started to, you know, hire different body types because also people just want to see like when they're scrolling our pages and they want to see how like the clothes are going to fit on them and what size they should get. And okay, well, you know, and we'll even do like try on. So like if we can't afford to, you know, hire a bunch of models for a shoot, we'll like have different body types come and try it on and showcase that and do like little fit guides on our Instagram. So that's been really helpful. And just also like at the beginning, it's been me and Ralph like fitting a lot of this stuff, and we're just more like naturally more petite. And so we were kind of fitting it, and then we're like, okay, we're just going to size up, but like, we don't have an ass, so we don't know how it fits.
So well, if you ever need an ass, I've got one for you. So
we want to make sure that it's supportive and that it's lifting. And like, so now we've started to like lean on other people to fit it for us in different sizes. So it definitely is something that we are still growing in and still striving towards. We have a lot of goals around it that we haven't been able to quite tap into yet, but we definitely want everyone to feel like they belong, you know, with Daily Drills, and that they could picture themselves. Maybe they're not going to feel comfortable wearing our, you know, shorty shorts, but they're going to feel comfortable wearing our Drills leggings. Like we want it to be for everybody. So we're really excited about that piece. And I think that there's definitely a lot more like discovery and inclusion to be had.
Yeah. And the interesting thing that I think is so many people, like our most asked DM is what size should I be? What size should I get?
Yeah.
Which is super interesting because I'm like, I kind of know what size I would get. Thankfully, I'm not someone because I have a twin sister and moms that are all in a mom that's different sizes than me. So I've always like gone up in size or gone down in size and like how things fit differently, different bodies differently. But I think since so many girls are so curious about their size, we try to have like an open dialogue on our Instagram. They send us like, I'm like, okay, send me your normal numeric sizes and I'll make a recommendation. Like, do you like your stuff a little bigger? Do you like your stuff a little smaller? And it's me on the other end of it. I think they think it's more like a customer support person, but we try to always, since like we can't have that diversity of model that we want to, that we're striving to have one day. Just like, if anyone has a question or like, my body is like this, I'm like, Art, my sister literally is those exact sizes and she ordered this, or our other friend is this size, she ordered that. Like, I think that would be perfect. Like, we always are trying to have that line of communication where they feel like they can ask us too. I think it's important. And also we need to get our moms to model for one, because I feel like
I love that
body type too, color, everything. Well, Frankie Shop does it, and they do like these beautiful women that are like 65 probably with like full gray hair, and they're gorgeous. Like, they're full models. You can just tell they're gorgeous. But just having like those different sizes, those different ages is so
just
cool
the
too.
Inclusivity.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, who knows? Maybe that's, I'm just going to plant this seed. Maybe that's your Mother's Day advertising.
I know. I would say yes.
Yes.
I think you know what I mean, but I think there is that inclusion, because like, for instance, I know like my mom, like she's having such a hard time finding clothes that also like work with her, and there's, you know, I mean, granted, I don't know if necessarily she's going to be wearing exactly everything I'm wearing, but like, I think it's important to bring the beauty in all sizes, ages, shapes, and colors. I think that's something that I'm grateful. Like I said, we're finally living in a time where that's acknowledged and it's not bypassed or kind of like taboo in that sense. But speaking of taboos and stigmas, I want to know, what was the drive? Because you guys clearly are best friends and you're working in business, and there's been so much of that, like, you know, don't mix business and friendship and pleasure. So I'm curious to hear, like, what was the drive of like, you know what, we're going to dismantle this damn conditioning and stigma around, you know, working with your friend and doing business with your friends. Like, I'm curious to hear, like, did you guys, like, when you started your friendship, and did you think you guys would be starting like a, like, did you future trip into seeing like, hey, this could be a potential like business partner that I can work with? Or I'm curious to hear like, what has been your experience really of breaking that stigma around like mixing business and pleasure and friendship, and also the importance of cultivating boundaries between the two of you as well. So that there is like a balance and a harmony and not so much of like a codependency. And you can also both be in your power with like speaking like, hey, this is what I like and this is what I like. And I'm sure disagreements have come up between you guys. You know, it's inevitable. It's human nature. Like, we can always have disagreements. They don't have to be like explosive disagreements, but it's like, you know what, I like this color more than this one or whatever. Like, I'm curious to hear how that whole journey has really made you even like a stronger person individually.
I love that question. I feel like we have so much to say. We always talk on this topic because it's super interesting. Every podcast we're on, they ask like, oh, y'all are girls, best friends and business partners. Like, do you ever get in fights? And it's just an interesting question, you know, that we've heard a lot, that maybe guys that are in our exact same position wouldn't get that question if they were business partners with their best friend. So we've talked internally about that.
Well, they haven't been on my podcast yet, because I would have no problem asking two men that question too.
No, but you ask it in such a good way. Like, I know that that's a stigma and that you guys are here to break it. And, but we actually did, we didn't know obviously that we're not that so raven. We couldn't see into the future and know that we were going to be business partners one day, but
I love you just said that.
We were actually friends before we met in person. One of our friends connected five girls and we ran a collaborative Instagram account. I was in high school and Ken was like her freshman year of college in LA. So it wasn't a business, but it was like kind of like more of a, we had never met in person. We weren't like a
collaborative
yet.
Space.
Yeah.
That's so special.
We met on Instagram and then a year later we met in person in LA when I went to school here. And I feel like we've circulated business ideas. We've obviously done separate things. And then I think you came to me about one idea another time.
Yeah.
Like we've always known that we have very different strengths and but the same vision. We like the same things, but we're very, very different in the way we work and our skills and assets. So we always like thought that that would be a good pairing, but we never knew it was actually going to happen. I feel like.
Yeah. And going back to your question, like I love working with my best friend. Like the fact that I get to see so many people go into a workspace and they're like sitting at their cubicle and like it's some 6-year-old man sitting next to them who I have nothing in common with.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love that. Like on our lunch break, we like run over and grab a salad and chat and, you know, then come back into work. And so I definitely think having an office space was super helpful for like our friendship because we were able to kind of like leave work at work. And then we still go on double dates and we still do things outside of work that feel very separate from work. Like if daily drills was, you know, demolished tomorrow, like we would still be best friends. Yeah. And I think it's developed even a stronger friendship because you have more trust, more loyalty, more longevity and just like equity built up in the friendship.
Yeah.
So I personally love it. I think maybe it could be more uncomfortable having hard conversations because at the end of the day, you love that person. It's not as much like you're like, I'm more like empathetic, which is probably a good thing. And there's more like more at stake than if I just had a business partner and we, you know, split the business. So I definitely think it can maybe make those conversations a little harder, but like on the flip side, coming out from those conversations or those hard discussions, I always feel so much stronger and like affirmed of the foundation we've created.
Hello, hello. How amazing has this conversation, this medicine, this episode been? Let us know by leaving a rating and review. But in the meantime, I want you to remember that time is a precious gift. And the sooner you break down the walls and transcend the insecurities and value your worth, and you'll recognize that truthfully, you're a strong, powerful, intelligent soul who's here to revolutionize the world with their medicine. And from this space, you have the ability to move the masses and activate a legacy beyond words. And thanks to the advancement of modern technology, you have the gift and the ability to create smarter and not harder. And that's why this episode is brought to you by Alchemize Your Systems. This is an 8-week journey to systemize and nourish your online empire because, again, you have total permission to create smarter and not harder. And so to unleash your medicine with integrity, it starts with you honoring your systems. The days of burnout are over, and with the advancement of modern technology and all these innovators who've come up with amazing programs, you have the ability to transcend the hustle culture that we've been conditioned to believe is the way to build a business. That is not the cause of success. Instead, I want you to understand that you have the ability to recognize that your business and your money has the ability and the opportunity to flow behind the scenes while you're out there experiencing and embracing life. That's why I created Alchemize Your Systems, where you'll see the inner geek here who's created incredible templates and automations, sharing with you the programs that I use to organize, to strategize, to content create, to really run not just the Sovereign Society podcast, but how I also honor my clients with their onboarding and overall experience with their contracts and whatnot, as well as just how to organize and really set forth your social media. So again, you're creating smarter and not harder. So if you're interested in checking out Alchemize Your Systems, go check out sabrinariccio.com/alchemize-your-systems. And from this experience, you'll be reading testimonials. When you check out this site, you'll be able to see what are the various programs that I'm sharing with you, these templates and programs and automations, because systems management and content planning, this is how you create, and this is how you share. This is how you cultivate better boundaries to spend more time offline while your business and abundance are flowing. What an exhale, right? Honestly, how you honor your business is a deep reflection of how you choose to honor you. So with Alchemize Your Systems, you'll have all the tools to really take it to the next level. So again, check out SabrinaRiccio.com/alchemize-your-systems. And if you have any questions, hit me up over on Instagram at Sabrina Riccio or at Sovereign Society Podcast, and I'll be answering any of your questions. But again, if you're ready to create smarter and not harder, Alchemize Your Systems was designed with you in mind. So let's get back into this incredible episode.
It's amazing because I think with that part of that, I'm sure, like, from your experience, like, there needs to be, like, with regardless if you're friends or if you're a partner in business, there needs to be a level of reciprocity and balance between the two of you. And I'm sure you guys understand that. You know, it's like not everything can't be on the back of like one person, and there has to be this flow. And I'm sure like neither of you have an issue on like asking each other for help if like you're finding yourself struggling. Right. And I'm sure that there's that piece of, you know, I'm here, like, you guys are going to scale and grow together. And I'm sure that's part of like the momentum as well, because I'm sure, like, you know, clearly it sounds like you two are soulmates together, and
win together. I will say, like, if it was just me or just Ralph, and it's like, you achieve so much and you have no one to celebrate or share with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally understand that. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, this, like, what life is more than just work. But if you can be able to do this with someone you love, like, it makes it so much more exciting. Mm-hmm. And you get to celebrate wins together. And I think that's, I'm sure, something both of you love doing and going to celebrate together and obviously see your growth. But talking about growth too, because I want to know, like, when you guys first started, like, what was it that you wish that you did that you didn't do? And what was it that you did that you wish you didn't do?
Probably a lot of things.
I know.
We're making it sound easier and like more simple than it was.
I'm happy we started when we did. Like, we didn't wait until we had like the best product. Like, we had a product we were proud of and we liked, but it wasn't like a super exciting product. Like, it was black leggings, black biker shorts, white tee. It's self-funded. It's all we could afford at the time. We were excited about it, and we were excited about like the brand itself, but there definitely still was like so much, like, we've just expanded so much. So I think like something that I'm happy that we did is we just started and we just like went with our gut and like put our feet on the ground and started developing. Something I wish we would have like known, or I think it would be like to get an office sooner, like to hire sooner, like
to trust in yourself.
I think we kept being like, oh, this is great. But like, cause we went from activewear to just like these oversized crew necks. And we were like, oh, once everybody gets a crew neck, cause we would sell out and then we'd restock the next month and we'd sell out. And like, once everybody gets a crew neck, like, nobody's going to want to buy anything more from us. So I kind of feel like we were living with like a little bit of a scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
And like, oh, okay, well, we don't need an office or we don't need a hire. And like, once we kind of stepped into that, we were like, whoa, look at how much more we can tap into and how much more capacity we have now that we've allowed ourselves space to grow into.
Yeah. I feel like we were confident at the beginning, but we were also like scared that it wouldn't do this again next month. Like, we're like, oh, we sold a lot this month, but it probably wouldn't happen next month. Or like, we would get excited for ourselves, but then we would think like, oh, but that's the best it's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, we still have to, you know, pay $300 for our photo shoot and us to be the models, you know? So I feel like just kind of trusting yourself a little bit more. And at the beginning we did like set up everything super like, we set ourselves up to be a big business because we're like, if we're going to start this and we want to be a large fashion line, we have to set ourselves up like we're going to go there one day. Mm-hmm. So I think we did that at the beginning. And then when we started selling, we were like, kind of held it a little tighter. And then now as we've seen, like, it keeps growing and
keeps evolving and the next thing keeps coming, I think now we like trust it more and are able to lean into that.
I love it. Cause it's also, you know, transcending that scarcity mindset of like, there isn't going to be more. I think another piece that's also really important is to make sure you have the client retention and to, in a way of like, how can you support your clients that have already worked with you in the past, or purchased from you? I know for me, like, I think it's like, I'm more service-based than product-based, but, I think for me, it's important to make sure that I've cultivated a relationship with my customers. And that's like in the beginning, we were talking about like, well, what does the customer actually want? Because clearly if someone bought from you before and they loved it, you're going to cultivate that trust with them of like, hey, like I bought this piece and I love it. I want to come back and get more. So I'm curious to hear like, you know, how have you seen like client retention versus new client outreach? And what are you seeing that you guys do differently?
Well, I definitely think our customer base has been incredibly loyal. Like most of our customers are like repeat buyers. I was just looking at a customer the other day who had bought like, she had 17 orders from us. We've only been around for a year and a half. I'm like, she is buying every single month. So I think our retention rate is
so crazy high.
It's like pretty high. And I think that's something we really pride ourselves on is like continuing to offer value to those existing customers and like leaning in to see what they want us to develop, what they're excited by, making sure that like if they had a bad experience with shipping or whatever, that we're making sure we resolve that. Like there's a lot that we do to really nurture those relationships. And then as far as like growth, I think we're not growing at like a crazy, I mean, we're still building a lot, but it's not like so much that we don't feel like we can like nurture those clients and like bring them in and make sure they have like a really unique first experience or first touch. We do a lot of like cool, we just shot in Paris. And we did like, we gave away flights to Paris like after it. And so I feel like we found like really unique marketing tools.
That's awesome.
And we've been scrappy with it too, right?
And we decided that we were gonna give away flights to Paris like the day our collection launched because everyone was like, I can't believe you guys went to Paris. What was your favorite place? Give us a guide. I really want to go. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, Ken, 500 girls want to go to Paris. Should we send two? And then we literally that day were like, let's do it. Why not? And then do it then. So kind of like, what do we call them like the girls? They're like, what do they want? What do they want? Where do they want us to go? What do they want from us? And we kind of act on that just kind of in the moment spontaneously. And yeah. I think that's helped because they can see it.
But our customers are like the most important part of our brand. Like we're not who we are if our customers are excited and loving us and like receiving what we're putting out.
100%. Because I mean, if we're starting this business, like if you're starting a business and you're doing it for selfish reasons, then you're going to find yourself like with a lot more headaches. I mean, we're here to be of service. You know what I mean? And I think if your brand is so interwoven of being so ethical and sustainable in that sense, like I think that in a way is like, it's like service is above all else. And I think it's great when what you guys were sharing with that marketing thing, because sometimes like you can plan on what you think like this marketing campaign is going to be, but then something better unfolds when you're least expecting it.
Yeah, so true. And we're not like the type that think, oh, we didn't think about this 2 months ago when we were planning our marketing campaign for our Paris collection, so we're not going to do it. We're like, okay, we can just post it right now and do it. It doesn't have to be planned in advance. Obviously, a lot of things are, but leaving room and like space for the spontaneous decisions that really, like that giveaway that we did, I mean, was the most amazing thing that we could have done for our collection and for our followers. And they were beyond more excited than we could have ever thought they would be. So just leaving space for those things and not being like so cut and dry and planned out that you don't even leave any room for anything, I think is important in life, business, weekend plans, friendship, all of that.
Yeah. And I think like, cause to me, like the thing about marketing, like I said, when I went to school for marketing, when I graduated, I'm looking at my diploma right now, 11 years ago, it's like over my head. But so much of that evolves too. And I mean, clearly, like we see, like if you're, especially with social media, like there's new things happening all the time. Like here's this trending sound on Reels and how can you infuse it into things? Like you have to stay on your toes, but it doesn't have to be overwhelming in that sense. In a way, if you can shift that mindset to be like, this is exciting and it keeps it fresh. That part is important, but I also want to talk it with you guys because I'm curious because I love systems. Like, I don't know if it's my 1 degree Virgo moon, but like I love systems and I love geeking out on like beautiful platforms that allow things to flow and effort, then be more effortless so I can create more space. Like, I'm curious to hear like what have been your go-to systems that have helped you really scale?
Yeah. So we say like constraints always promote creativity. Like if you have some sort of boundary, like it allows you to have more space to be creative versus like plan the best shoot you can ever think of. We'll be like, okay,
this is our budget.
Yeah.
This is our,
yeah. Those constraints allow you to be more creative. So I totally agree with everything you're saying. We don't honestly have a ton of like big, you know, org system software technology that we use right now. We do like kind of all have like our roles and responsibilities listed out. So we all know kind of what we're overseeing and what we're owning and then when to check in with those other people to make sure that like, okay, that's going to be cohesive with what you're doing. We actually still use, it's funny, a Google Doc. It's called like This Week and we update it every week and it has the days of the week and then we'll highlight like who's responsible for what. And then we'll have like a big marketing calendar that actually sits in the other room and that'll have like all of our key things going on, any promos, strategy, drops, yeah, sticky notes. So levers to pull if something's not selling, anything like that. We use Later for Instagram to help organize the Instagram feed because the aesthetic is really important to us. We use Klaviyo for emails, but that's not really like an org structure. So we use a lot of different things, but we're still so small that we still are like very fluid in our processes.
And we let like what works for us go. We're not like, oh, we're this business, so we should have we shouldn't use Google Docs anymore or Google Sheets. Like it works for us, so we keep using
Google Calendar is amazing though, I will say.
Yeah, totally.
We did this. Obviously we're planning products for 12 months from now, and we have a system that literally we created ourselves called our product pipeline. And it has everything that we're creating, what time we want it to launch, the number of patches on it, to what sizes we're buying it in, to the photo cost, shoot
samples.
It has everything listed in one line. And so that's helped us. Obviously, I've never worked in any other startup fashion company. So I have no idea what another person would use, which is super interesting to me. But as I've talked to some friends, it seems like everyone has different versions of the same thing. So just kind of not being scared to be like, I think this will work. And then we always like every few months, like add a column because we're like, oh, we might need this, you know, this description in there as well.
I love that. Yeah. Cause I know like I love Google Calendar. I'm sure you guys have like, I have like 10 different calendars on my one. So it's like, hey, this is my get shit done. This is my content creatrix. These are my appointments. This is my self-love. And I think it's important to color code. Also to color code, I teach this a lot in my program, Alchemize Your Systems, because like I said, I love systems. But I think if you're able to color code and to have that piece and that structure really set up in that way, that way you can have a visual. So I don't know about you guys, but I know your like brands are like green and like a gray, but I'm curious, like, are you seeing yourself using other colors that are a little more like organized? Cause I think for me, like I said, that's a way that my eyes like better recognize and see of like, okay, cool. Like this is green. So this is money day. This is, you know what I mean? I'm curious to hear like with your calendar, like how are you guys really organizing that piece?
Yeah, we definitely have like our own personal things on the calendar. Different people that are in charge of different things on the calendar, but I'm color pink just because I love pink. You're yellow.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just like we do ourselves as different colors and then different like our content shoot days are a different color than our podcasts are a different color than our launch days. So all of that is super interesting, but colors really do help. Cause then sometimes when I look on the calendar, I see a yellow dot. I know Kennedy has something at 5:30. I don't care what it is or anything, but just seeing the yellow dot helps. Like
it's just great for scheduling purposes too. So like I'm like, all right, cool. Like, if there's something that I really want to get done before Ralph has an appointment at a certain time, like, I know in the back of my head, okay, that needs to be at the forefront of today rather than like on the later half of the day. So I feel like it's allowed us to be more respectful of each other's times and like time off too. Like, if I see on the calendar, totally. Ralph's sitting there, I'm not going to text her at dinner. Mm-hmm. Where before I was like, I have no idea what she's doing. I'm sitting at home right now, like dreaming about Daily Drill. So I'm just going to text her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this thing called digital hours, which are nice. My boyfriend, like,
we do this thing.
We do it. I make you do it. And it's like there's not a set hour, but like 10 p.m. to 8 a.m., you don't need to be talking about tons of things during those hours. My roommate actually just said her new motto is you can't change your life. Don't try to change your life after 8 p.m. And I just think that's super interesting. Like, have those gentle hours that, like, even Ken knows. She'll obviously sometimes we have to text between them, but she'll be like, haha, I know I'm interrupting the gentle hours, but this or this or this, just so if you needed to say something. But like, we have that mutual understanding that those hours aren't, the priority isn't Daily Drills at that time.
Yeah, better be urgent.
Yeah.
But the difference is, I do want to say, like, if you have, like, I don't know about you guys, but I know if I get like a download of like, oh, this may be something great. I'm sure you're writing that down because sometimes, and then if you don't, then you're like, oh my gosh, it was so, how did this pass me and went to someone else, right? Yeah.
She's like, I'm texting you this. You don't have to reply. I just had to tell you, you know, so like,
or I'll add it to the this week doc for tomorrow. Like, she'll come in and she'll see like four random things on the this week doc under there. And she's like, what is this? So I was like, this is what I thought about in the shower this morning.
Yeah. I'll do that. Like on Sunday, this past Sunday, I did that. Cause obviously I don't want to text her on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It can wait. And just like putting it, having somewhere to put it or having
voice memos, right?
Yeah. We're not voice memo girls yet.
We need what? Oh man. The voice memos are the way to go. Like, I will totally just record. I'm like, okay, so here's this marketing idea that I have. We're going to crush this. Here we go. Or like, hey, this is my podcast episode. Yeah. Well, you can just write it, right? Yeah, you can just write it or speak it out. I don't know. I just think like too, like they say your words have power. So like, yeah, you can like type it out, but if you speak it out and you like speak it into existence, like in a way, I think you plant a seed in that sense as well.
That's true.
I never thought of it that way.
I'm going to be voice memoing you.
God.
But then I want to know now. I want to know if you guys are going to keep up with these voice memos now. I want to know. Be like, oh yeah, Sabrina told us about this. Maybe this is my seed to plant to tell you guys yet. Voice memos are the way to go.
I usually just call her.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's me again.
But I think it's a little bit, I don't know. When I send a voice memo to someone, I think it's like a little bit taking out of their time because they have to be there and like listen to it fully, right?
It's hard to be in a spot to like sit down and listen to it and receive it on the other end. That's my issue. Like, I can text, but like, I'm not rude if I'm playing someone's voice memo at the office in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe so here's this. What if you're leaving this voice memo for yourself at that moment and then you re-listen to it and it like reignites and then it can extend further. Yes, so anyone who's listening, we are saying voice memo. I'm telling you. Voice memos. I don't know if it's like I said, I'm a podcast host and like I'm a speaker. So to me, like, that I hear back and I listen, or maybe I forgot about it. And then I'll look back through my voice memos. I'm like, wow, I'm still resonating with this idea that came through like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll infuse it into like this quarter's strategy or something like that.
That's so true. I love that.
So I just wanted to plant that seed. You're welcome. Just kidding. But I just think it's important to also like really run with that inspired action because like I said earlier, it's like you're becoming this divine channel and like you're here to do God's work. You're here to live out your divine mission and purpose. And I think in a way, like if you can bring, like for you guys, for instance, if you're bringing a more sustainable brand, like you're going to have to get out of your own way to hear because you're disrupting a pattern, just like you're breaking that stigma around friends and business. Like you're disrupting a pattern in the fashion industry that's going to revolutionize the world, you know, and that's the big thing for me. Like one of the mottos that I work with my business is revolutionize the world with your medicine, right? Like something that has made an impact in your life. Like you can share from that space of overflow. And then when we can also be an observer of like what's going on in the world, and that there's like that fire within you that wants to be the change and to do something different. Like you have every right and all the power to you to shake shit up and revolutionize the world with your medicine and do it with a space of integrity. And I think that for me is, that's why, like, for me, for business, for instance, what I like to help people dive into the depth of their soul so that they can figure out the very patterns and the limiting beliefs and the doubts and the insecurities that are getting them in their way from up-leveling and scaling, right? That's because true. It can also be, I'm sure with how fast you guys scaled, like, I'm sure that was scary as well. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I love that though. It's so, so good.
Yeah. Knowing your limiting beliefs and then like helping understand those and get you on your way.
And owning your own business, I feel like brings up so many of those beliefs you have about yourself. Cause when it's somebody else's business, you're like, okay, if it fails, like I'll get another job, not on me. Mm-hmm. But when it's your own baby, it's like, you really start to like turn inward and reflect and be like, ooh, why did I have that gut reaction about that? Ooh, why was I so anxious today? Like, why was I like a little bit short? And it's like never normally about the thing. It's always kind of about something deeper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why, like I said, no matter like any of my programs that people do, if you're working with me, like we're going deep because we need to disrupt this pattern. And because clearly like us, like you scaling or you going to higher levels, that's a pattern disruption in itself because it's you constantly getting out of your comfort zone from that space. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to like we started with this conversation, like, I think it's important to like trust that deep inner knowing and the divine guidance and to cultivate that relationship with yourself, with your own intuition, having that deeper level of faith and understanding and that deeper connection with the divine so that you can really understand like, hey, you're here for this short amount of time. Like this idea came to you for a reason. So mm-hmm. how are you going to execute it in order to really make an impact and in a way activate a legacy that's going to, you know, impact and revolutionize generations to come?
I love it. I feel so inspired by you.
I know. I receive it.
Amazing. Well, I've really enjoyed this conversation and I just want to close out with a quick lightning round set of questions. You ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
What does sovereignty mean to you?
That's a great question. This is a fire round, so I'm supposed to respond, but like that feels pretty deep. I would say just like peace, like purity and peace are like the two descriptive words that come to mind when I think of sovereign or sovereignty.
Yeah. I feel like tranquility, peace really comes to mind. And I feel like that's sort of what you embody too in your podcast. Like I feel like we've gone deep and touched a lot, but I also feel like at peace with all of that. I think it
helps. Awesome. I love that. What would you say was like the best book that really impacted your life?
Mine is Love Does by Bob Goff because I love him. He's like my grandpa. Not really.
I think Redeeming Love. I still haven't seen the movie, but I loved the book.
Yeah.
Amazing. What was the best concert you ever attended and that like really impacted your life?
Justin Bieber for my 15th birthday. My dad took me and we went to Florida for it and it was the best literally of my life. Yeah.
Can I say Britney Spears? She was my first concert and I feel like it really was like, if she can do it, I can do it. I mean, my I can do it looks a little different, but loved her.
You can have braids in the office. It's fine.
I love it. Free Britney all the way. Yeah. I remember when I saw NSYNC. And who opened up for, actually, no, it wasn't NSYNC. I saw Christina Aguilera and who opened up for Christina Aguilera was Destiny's Child when it was the four of them.
That's hilarious. That's a good one.
Right? Isn't that, yeah. Those things that really impact and just continue to bring out our whole perspective and idea in life. What would you want to say to younger self? Like what little nugget of wisdom would you want to share with your younger self? Mm-hmm.
Mine would be just to be kinder to yourself, like give yourself more grace. It's okay to not get it right on the first time. And like failure isn't like getting it wrong. It's like not trying at all.
I think I would probably say the same thing about be kinder to yourself. Like you're going to do it. We did it is what I would tell my younger self, but also like be kinder along the way. I think I was kind to myself, but I just think you don't take things too seriously.
Yeah.
And where can we find Daily Drills and more from you too?
Well, Daily Drills is shopdailydrills.com and at Daily Drills on Instagram. And I'm at Mary Ralph.
And I'm at Kennedy Critchlow.
Amazing. And what last little nugget of wisdom would you want to share to whoever's listening that's out there ready to start their business, but maybe they feel scared to take that leap or whatever else is coming up that you really want to share after this conversation?
I would say if Ken and I can do it, you can do it. Like, I'm 25, Ken's 26. We've never done this before. We don't come from a background that would lead us here. I think if we can do it, seriously, you can do it. And you should just take that and run with it and start now.
So if you're having this insecurity or this doubt of like, who am I? Clearly these two have just absolutely crushed it. And like, I'm just going to say, ladies, like, you've barely scratched the surface of what's possible. Like, I wish I had that much awareness and drive at the age of 25 and 26. Like, that is huge. So I just really want to honor you guys. And like I said, I'm excited to see how you continue to answer the call and to really take this vision and this brand to higher heights. And thank you so much for joining me and sharing with me everything that you guys have been witnessing and experiencing and really growing from on your journey.
Thank you so much for having us. This was such a great way to start our Friday.
Yeah, wow, this was amazing. We're so grateful for you. Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for tuning into this powerful episode of the Sovereign Society podcast. To keep this conversation flowing, I invite you to join us over at the Sovereign Society private Facebook group and to follow us over at Sovereign Society Podcast on Instagram. If you want to keep up with me, subscribe to my YouTube channel where you can watch these episodes and so much more. I welcome you to come on over and say hey on Instagram at Sabrina Riccio. And if you love these conversations, please support the podcast by subscribing and leaving a rating and review on iTunes. To share the love, all you got to do is search Sovereign Society Podcast. And of course, if you're ready for more, stay tuned for next week because we've got a whole new episode coming your way. Take care. Sat Nam.